Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle.
And now I'd like to introduce to you, of course, Dr. Leah McNeil, who's been a regular contributor with us for 2 years now, talking about health and wellness. And today we're going to talk about the flu. So welcome, Dr. Leah.
Good morning.
This is exciting, isn't it? We get to talk about the flu.
No, I think we get to get some questions answered.
I am very concerned.
Everybody's scaring us to death, and it's like, you know, Pam and we don't know what to do, so we're delighted you're here.
Well, let's first talk about the difference, because what we're hearing right now is we have the swine flu and we have the regular flu. And then we have shots for the regular flu they want you to do right now. And then they want to have shots for the swine flu in October. So tell us a little bit about, where is this fear coming from, and should we be concerned about this swine flu?
The swine flu is a mutation in a sense that it's not just human related. It's obviously pig, and I guess there's some bird.
Right,
in there
that's
as
what
well.
I heard. Right.
So three things.
It's three, and so human, pig, bird, and it's a virus that's a mutation from all three of those, and so we haven't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, our bodies aren't fully, I should say, not 100%, but they're not fully immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a type of influenza A virus, which is the regular flu virus that goes around every year that you hear about. So because it's a type of influenza A virus, the elderly, this is what I've heard from the CDC, the elderly actually are more immune to it than children.
Oh.
So they're making a bigger deal about this affecting young adults, not just children, young adults in the 20s, even 20s and teens and kids, because we haven't been exposed to it as much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's a slight mutation, if they get it, they're concerned. They have been concerned. From the very beginning, back in April, that it's will mutate and get really bad and sicken everybody, and they compare it to the 1918.
Yes, they do. That's what's so frightening.
The thing about that is, though, we have antiviral drugs now.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't around back then. A lot of people died because we didn't have the medicine that we have now. So Tamiflu and Relenza, there's some antiviral drugs that work very well against this virus and just the regular flu virus.
Well, now let's just back up, because you know how when you go to the doctor and sometimes they go, you have the flu, but there's nothing I can do, or you have the flu and I can give you something. What's the difference? Is it viral versus
bacterial?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, very different. Viruses don't respond to most antibiotics. I mean, antibiotics are for bacteria.
Okay.
A lot of times they'll give someone an antibiotic that might have a flu virus or a bad cold, which is a virus, because they develop a secondary bacterial infection.
I see.
This particular virus, the swine flu H1N1 virus, if it goes down into your lungs, it can embed itself in the tissue of the lungs and be very difficult to get out.
Mm.
And the people that have died have had a lot of the pneumonia from this. They've had that virus get in the lungs. So if you have lung problems, if you have asthma, if you have chronic bronchitis, if you have a condition that is affecting your lungs, I would think it would be a good idea to get protected against it, honestly.
So you would suggest?
As long as it's on it. Okay, let me back up.
Yeah,
as it's something that people do all the time anyway, if they go in for their yearly shots all the time, then okay, you know, this is a influenza A virus that's very similar to the regular flu.
Because we're talking two separate shots, as Pam said.
Correct.
There's the flu shot that comes out now.
Right.
And then there's this swine flu.
H1N1.
Which is coming
October. And so far it's been safe. The swine flu vaccine that was back in the 70s caused Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it was actually not very safe. It's been 30 years since then, so they've gotten a lot better with how they make the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the influenza A virus shot that's out right now has three different strains in it.
It does.
And because they try and guess what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So one
I'm
of
sure.
the strains of influenza A that's in that shot is very similar to swine flu. And my neighbor got a flu shot recently, and she came home and said, the pharmacist said that one of the virus strains that's in this shot is very similar to swine flu, so it will actually help protect me against it.
You know, I just thought of something. If our listeners have a question for Dr. Leah, we're going to open up the telephone lines. You may call 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5527. 1-800-875-5569. And we'll take your question on air because we know there are some questions. We're going to address them, hopefully. But maybe, you know, there's something above and beyond. And Dr. Leah is here.
I'll tell you, my concern always is if I get the flu shot, and I used to hear this, I'm going to get the flu.
That's me, too.
And I've heard some people
how we
that
feel.
Then don't feel
well,
good.
Well, now, the flu shot's not going to stop you from getting it at all.
It isn't.
No, and that's one of the fallacies we have. It's like, if you get a flu shot, you won't get sick at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not true. You still can get the flu, but the shot gives you a little bit of protection. So if you do get the flu, your symptoms are a lot less.
Okay.
So when people say, yeah, I got the shot and I got sick anyway, but your symptoms were probably a lot less.
Can we talk about what the symptoms are with the swine flu versus what the symptoms are with flu?
The swine flu is coming up with three classic signs when it first starts, which is sort of different from the regular flu. Sore throat, cough, and fever. Because it has a respiratory component, I mean, you don't always get the sore aches and pains, which you can get, definitely, because that's a fever. That's what that does. But the sore throat and cough and fever, that triad is an indicator for the beginning of swine flu. The problem is, people with a lot of allergies can have a sore throat and a cough, but they don't always have a fever.
Right.
So a fever of, I don't know if it's over 100. I'm not sure what they're saying is fever. But if you have those three symptoms, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
It'll last for 3 to 5 days. Some people have it longer just because their immune system is weaker. Look at Washington State University.
Yes.
They had 2,000 or 3,000 cases, and most of them are back in class.
Right.
They're recovering just fine. So it's not as severe as they made it out to be when it comes back in this fall. But still, those are the three classic. Most people that get influenza A don't always get a sore throat. They get, I'm so achy.
Yeah. Yes.
They're just really tired.
Or
they can get stomach.
The fever.
Mm-hmm. Some people can get vomiting or diarrhea with the swine
flu
as well.
Oh, with it also.
Yeah. The other thing that's a problem, but I'll clarify this in a minute, is anybody who has these symptoms and goes in for a culture to be tested, if it comes back positive as influenza A, then they're calling it swine flu right now. They're not sending the swabs off to the CDC anymore to be confirmed because they've been inundated with tons of swabs.
Right.
And so because influenza A, the regular flu, is not real prominent right now, anybody that has that on a culture has been called swine flu.
Well, now I want to talk about, though, this shot and what's in it. We know there's this culture, this flu culture, that
concoction.
But is there any stuff in there that preservants and stuff that is it harmful for our body? That's my biggest concern.
Well, Pam, that's always been my issue, I guess, with vaccines in general, although the childhood vaccines have been cleaned up quite a bit. But the flu shot vaccines haven't been, and they still have thimerosal and aluminum and some other preservatives. Maybe
they do.
Yeah, they do. And I probably wouldn't be, honestly, I probably wouldn't be worried about getting a shot myself if all that stuff wasn't in there. And that's my big controversy with
this. Well, that's what I thought.
Is I don't mind getting just give me the shot of the virus to help build up my system, but I don't want all the other stuff that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably my biggest issue with flu shots and shots, vaccine kind of shots in general, is all the stuff they put in it.
Well, that they just put this together in 6 months.
I know.
That's my concern.
I know.
How do
they get it?
They're growing it on a different medium. Mm-hmm. Most vaccines are grown on egg albumin, and that's how they get it, and it takes a lot longer. This, I forget what medium they use, but they're using something different to get it out faster.
Right.
And hopefully it won't mutate so that the vaccine that does come out will be effective. Might not be. But I right now, most recent research has shown that one shot is plenty.
One shot.
They started out with two, remember?
Two swine shots. For adults. But for kids, if they are going to release, obviously they're going to release it for kids, it might be two or three shots because they're giving it in smaller doses.
Okay. Oh,
man.
All right, so let's say we have these little Muppets and they're going off to school. What are some of the things we can help them protect them?
Yeah.
Instead of the shot, there's got to be some other things that we can do.
There's a lot of other things. Getting just in general, having a strong immune system is helpful. Vitamin D, you hear me talk about that till we're blue in the face. I mean, vitamin D for our kids, too. And when you get sick, your vitamin D plummets because it's utilized for the immune system.
Okay.
So for little ones, I'm having kids less than 50 pounds taking 1 to 2,000 units of vitamin D a day. 50 to 100 pounds, 2 to 3,000 units a day because it's so good for our immune system. It's anti-inflammatory, protects against cancer. So we all should make sure our nutrient status is up right now, taking extra multivitamins even. I tell patients all the time, if you start to get sick, take some extra multivitamin and take some extra vitamin D. Those two things right there are going to help support your system. Obviously, if you're throwing up, you're not going to be able to keep anything down.
Right.
But those two things will help, will start to help, and then add your herbs or whatever else you need to take.
How do you decide, back up a little bit, how do you decide who you give a shot to? When a child walks in the door, how do you decide who, or is it up to the parent? Do you encourage the parent to get the shot? And I mean the flu shot or the swine flu.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
Give information and let the parent decide, because that's a very personal decision. Vaccines, flu shots, lots of things like that are very personal. I give informed consent about the pros and cons with them. And if a child has asthma, or if they have a neurologic condition, studies have shown recently that certain neurologic conditions can increase risk, and then maybe they should. But before any child gets a shot or before any adult gets a shot, they cannot be sick when they get the shot,
because
that'll make their immune system worse.
Right. Oh.
They need to have their nutrient status up, meaning get their vitamin D, their vitamin C, their multivitamins, B vitamins, all those need to be in their system to keep them healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get a shot of any kind, your body has to recognize it and make an antigen antibody blend to get rid of it, you know, to build up against it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that and you're sick a little bit, well, they won't give it to you if you're sick. You'll be at a worse cost. So in other words, if you get a shot and your nutrient status isn't built up, you might not actually build up the immunity against
it. So it'll be useless.
Properly.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's very complicated.
Well, I have some more questions because I still want to know what else I'm supposed to do. I love the multi.
Wash your hands.
That's where I was going.
You have to do that. I mean, all the kids, everybody should wash their hands.
But I want to know, do we send off our little Muppets with these sanitizers? Should they be, you know, using these things? Let's talk about that, but we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Chat with Women. We'll be right back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Rochelle.
And I'm Pam.
I was shaking my body. I think that helps, you know. I think exercising, getting that going. We're talking to Dr. Leah. It's Dr. Leah Day. It's Wednesday, and it's Dr. Leah Day. And it's a very, very important topic if you've been listening. We're talking about the flu, the swine flu, the regular flu, all types of flu. And I think before we went to break, Dr. Leah, we were chatting about the sanitizers.
Yes.
You know, are we overdoing it?
You can.
Yeah.
You really can easily, because they're antimicrobial, antibiotic hand cleansers you're putting on your skin. Our skin has a natural defense. It has Staph aureus, and I mean, it has all these different things on it naturally. But if you constantly kill those things off, then if you are exposed to something, your body has a lower resistance. Your skin has a lower resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get a cut on your skin and things can get in there faster. A little bit of hand sanitizer. I mean, once or twice a day or
once
maybe.
Once or twice a day.
Don't keep using
not
it, using
every
it, using
time.
It. I mean, you wash your hands. That's the best way.
Yes.
And it is. I mean, it's just as good. Soap and water is just as good. It takes longer.
So let me ask you, somebody before you is not feeling well, they turn the faucet off, you go turn the faucet on, are you susceptible to pick up those germs?
Well, you turn the faucet on, you wash your hands.
Yes. So then you're washing it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you touch it again, though, to turn it off.
But then think about it. If I went and stuck my finger in someone's mouth that was sick, will I get sick? No.
Well, no. Okay.
No.
Unless you put your finger in your mouth or your nose or your eye.
Unless you put your finger in your mouth or your nose or your eye, or you have a cut on your finger or something.
Okay.
Our skin's a great barrier.
Oh.
It really is. It's like sitting on a toilet, you know, unless you have a big cut on your bum, you're not going to get anything. Truly.
Really?
I don't
have to put those little papers down anymore?
But, I mean,
yeah, you do.
I don't.
Can you say ask-ask-it?
Ask what?
Ask-ask-it.
Ask-ask-it. Oh, is that what you
call
it?
Yeah, it's a little, the little barrier in between, right? Yeah.
Oh, I think the you should just because you don't know what's on there.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, but still, our skin.
They can hear you shuffling in there.
No, but I'm saying
too much information. Sorry, listeners.
Our skin's a great protector.
Okay,
that's nice
from our body.
Don't think about that.
No, you don't.
But what are the open parts of your skin? Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, all the mucous membranes. You know, so we'd go touch something, we rub our eye. Well, don't do that.
I see. That's hard to do when you have one that drips all the time and you're going like this all the time. So I'll have to get my little Kleenex and stop touching with my hands.
Yeah. Right. And that's
because we have to think of these things right now. I mean, nobody wants to get the flu, obviously.
Right.
And I just have a real problem since never have I had a flu shot in my whole entire life. I have a problem with wanting to go do it. And my biggest isn't so much me as I worry about my 6-year-old grandson. Should he have it or shouldn't he have it? And that's, you know, that's the part that's so hard, because you know when they get sick, they get dehydrated really quickly.
Yeah, they're little.
Yeah, they can't take it as much. So what happens? You said the signs. Well, how do you know when it's gone into something worse? How do you watch for worse?
There's a cough involved with this one,
right?
So sore throat, cough, fever.
Right.
If the cough really starts to get productive, and it sounds deeper, right away,
go to the doctor.
And within 24 to 48 hours. It can develop that much if it's going to.
Really
so if in that time period they really start to sound like they're rattly or, I mean, I don't even wait that long. Go in.
Right.
And if they test the lungs and they see that there's some problems in there, they're going to keep them in the hospital and do IV antibiotics.
They are.
Because it will get into the lung tissue. So in the, but also deep breathing, if you start to get a cough, keeps the air moving in the lungs more.
Oh,
you can move stuff out of the lungs.
Oh, that's very
deep
good.
Breathing.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that just keeps things moving in the lungs too. If we breathe, you know, shallowly normally, but when you're sick, it's even worse, and you're coughing, and that's just. But making sure those lungs are healthy. That's really a key with this particular flu.
Okay.
If it starts to show any lung involvement, do something right away.
All right, but like Pam pointed out earlier, and you also mentioned it, what if you have the vomiting and diarrhea? What do we do to overcome this?
There are some medicines that can be used as a suppository, like Compazine, that are anti-nausea medicine. Obviously, if the gut's involved, that's a little harder, but when kids are throwing up a lot. A couple years ago, my son was really sick, and he was throwing up, and he got so dehydrated. I got him a Compazine suppository and used that to help break the cycle.
Right.
But with kids, because they get dehydrated so fast, they might need an IV.
And how do you realize this? How many days?
Listless. If they are just laying there and they look, and they're not responding, they're listless, they're just blah, and they have a fever, and it's been a couple, you know, that's not good.
Okay.
And you want to call your pediatrician or call your doctor and
what's a dangerous fever for a child, or what's one for an adult? Because I know
actually
they're
that's
different.
A great question, because we freak out about fevers so
we do.
Often.
I know. I mean, especially when a child gets 103, we start to freak out. But isn't
that's
that okay
fine.
For a child?
Yeah. For kids, they can have a much higher temperature than us.
Right.
I've seen 104 in kids. I've heard parents tell me, "Yeah, it was 104 last night." But the kids. When you have that high of a fever, it's a great immune response.
It's fighting
your
it,
body's
then.
Trying to boil off that virus or bacteria because they can only live in your body at a certain temperature.
Oh.
So you raise up the temperature in the body and it kills off all that stuff. If right away you give Tylenol or Advil and drop the temperature, you can be sick longer. And your immune system's been suppressed a little bit.
Dr. Leah, that's an aha.
I always give my grandchild aspirin immediately with a fever.
And
not aspirin.
I was like, don't do aspirin.
Tylenol. But
No.
So let the fever sort of come.
Let it do its job. It's the body doing its job.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's like boiling
sakes.
Water to kill off the bacteria.
Okay,
you know,
at what
like,
point do we give them the Tylenol?
Yeah, I mean, how long do you wait?
Some kids, obviously, are going to be susceptible to febrile seizures. And
what's that?
A fever, a seizure that's caused from a fever. And it's usually in little ones, like 2 years, 3 years, I mean, or younger, and their temperature spikes. And when it spikes really fast, some kids can have a seizure from that.
Okay.
It's not harmful. It's just their body reacting. I would give, obviously, something at that point. But if it gets up to above 103, 103.5,
give them something.
Give them something because they probably feel miserable.
Right. Oh, you know they do.
I mean, my son's a great fever spiker. He's gone up to 103 or 103.5, and I just put him in between us and roast him. You know, I mean, he just lays there and sweats it out. And he's usually better the next day.
Once they sweat it out.
Yeah, they just really...
So it is, it's his body doing what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. Well, now, adults don't have... Adults don't have that response
usually.
Okay, what happens to us? And what's a dangerous temperature for an adult?
I don't know if there's really a dangerous temperature. It's more because we're adults and we think about it too much. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I'm miserable. You
know? No, I worry about brain damage.
Well, that's going to be probably
don't worry, honey. Your brain's just fine.
Over 105.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, it's, yes.
Oh, isn't 103 even high for an adult?
No.
It isn't.
Isn't that interesting?
I think that you don't feel good when you're at that level.
No.
Kids tend to sleep it off. Adults feel like they have to get up and do something and, you know, or take whatever. I mean, I've seen adults push themselves.
Not this friend of mine.
Then there's other adults that take to their bed.
That's good, though.
It is
better response.
When you're running that kind of temperature, I don't think you feel good enough to do much, right?
No, and if you can just let the temperature go. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if it's going
really
on for days, it's not going to be good.
Right.
But it's a way for your body to burn it off. It's a great
immune
response.
What do we take for achy, though? Because we're achy, and yet we don't want to take something.
Epsom salt bath.
Take a
you know,
real
that's,
strong
remember
Epsom
when I got sick
bath.
And Dr. Leah told me that, and I did, and it worked really well?
Right?
Yeah, it worked really well. It actually worked.
It's magnesium sulfate. Magnesium relaxes all your muscles. It dilates the blood vessels.
Okay.
So get in a bath. Plus a bath, a pretty warm bath, and some hot tea when you have a fever.
Right.
It's called a fever treatment.
Really?
In naturopathic medicine, we do hydrotherapy. We did when I was in college. We did these hydrotherapy treatments. And fever treatments stimulate the immune system. The fever treatments we would do on people who didn't have a fever, but we were trying to stimulate their immune system, so we'd get them in a really hot bath and have them drink hot tea and bring their temperature up.
Oh, that's great to know. It worked well. Really?
So it sort of fights it. And
it
then
does.
Do you say go to bed and, you know, get some rest?
Yeah, then do a wet sock treatment and go to bed.
And don't forget, everyone, keep your immune system. Cold water under your armpits and your neck.
All those things.
I do it every day. It's really nice in the summer because you're hot.
Yes,
it feels really good.
It does.
It's a little harder in
the
winter when it's cold. But those are really good tips for
people. Well, I want to recap. I think this has been a very good show. So I want to let our listeners know it's your choice about the flu shot. I mean, we've certainly given you a lot of information for you to take it or not take it, but really get your immune system up.
Yes.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D, vitamin C, your multivitamin.
Yep.
And if you start to feel, then make sure you get into that hot tub with Epsom salt and drink a cup of hot tea
and
take it to bed.
Take higher, like I'm on 5,000 milligrams of vitamin D right now just to keep my levels right. I would probably double that.
I actually tell patients if you start to get sick,
just double
take two.
Mm-hmm. Take two.
And I give everybody the 5,000 units of vitamin D. And I said, take two for a couple days. It's not going to hurt anything. Your vitamin D plummets when you get sick. So it helps support your system that much more.
That's really good information because back years ago, we would have thought vitamin C.
Absolutely.
Whenever we had a cold, I'm popping vitamin C, never thinking about vitamin D.
The one downfall of vitamin C when you're sick is if you start to take too much, you'll get diarrhea. And if you already have diarrhea, then the vitamin C doesn't work. I mean, I love vitamin C. I think it's very beneficial. It's just that there is a limit on that, more than vitamin D.
Well, what we want to do to say to everyone right now is they need to call you, Dr. Leah, to come in and talk about this flu shot. Should they have it? Shouldn't they have it? You know, what are some of the things they can do because of whatever their health is? I mean, where are they in their life right now?
Yeah.
How are they feeling? How has their summer been? Have they been sick or not sick? And so we really want to encourage people, make an appointment. Go find out what you should do. And what I like is you're not saying everyone should have it.
Right.
You're going to give them the pros and the cons.
Right.
So why don't you give out your information, Dr. Leah?
I'm in Bellevue at 425-452-9366. And my website is naturalmedicineforhealth.com. And you can always find me on chatwithwomen.com, too.
and all her tips that we've gotten over the last 2 years. It's a lot of information.
Oh.
And they can go to our website under archive shows and type your name, and all Dr. Leah's shows will come up. You can go listen to them because it's really information. It's going to save you a lot of heartache. I just learned something about temperature. Let children have a temperature. Let adults keep their temperature. That fights it.
Right.
That's a good
right.
thing.
It's a natural fighter.
So
it
that's,
is.
That's
yeah.
a real aha
doing its
moment
job.
For
it
me.
Was very aha.
Right.
I
right.
think that was fantastic. Well, this is a good show. This will be, you need to send it to your friends, and you should listen to it over and over and over again. This is a very good show, as most of them are. Thank you, Dr. Leah,
thank
for
you.
Joining us. Always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you.